You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Faint Zone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio on this beautiful Sunday afternoon in sunny California. I'm here with my co-host, Tony St. Tone, and we are ready to have a beautiful Sunday afternoon with you.
Do you want to talk a little bit about yesterday's show? It was the International Day of Peace, and we did a performance with Love All Humans.
Yeah, that was a beautiful day. It's nice to see people celebrating and being aware that there is one day of peace around the world where everybody stops fighting and allows food to be transported and medicines and things like that. And it's great that people are starting to celebrate that and the awareness is getting out there for that event. And it was fabulous to be part of that.
Yeah, I was very excited about being part of it. And I'm really glad that we continue to do some type of show to bring awareness to it. I think it's an exciting thing that the more people know about it, the more maybe we can spread peace around the world.
Yeah, I have to say that it's always a pleasure to do an outside park event where people just fall upon you, hear your music, and you see reaction and dancing. And it's always a fun thing to do. And when you're doing it in conjunction with a special day as well, all the better. So today's guest is Frank Michaelham. Tony, tell us who he is.
He is from Rock for Vets and the rockclub.net. He's doing a lot of great things out there with veterans and with inmates. But I'm going to let him teach you all about it and talk about it. This is Frank. So, Frank, how you doing?
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Janie.
Good morning, Frank.
Well, basically, we have a music education program. We started here in Long Beach, California, probably around 2008. And we've basically been doing music education for kids, for adults, for veterans, for people at risk. And what we do is we put guitars. We teach people how to play guitar, play bass, play drums, sing, be part of a choir program. Then we put them all together. We coach them for about 4 or 5 weeks. After those 4 or 5 weeks, then they have a finale concert in front of family and friends. And basically, this concept started in Australia, in Melbourne. And that's where I was living in Australia for the last 15 years until around 5 years ago. I moved out here. And basically, we came at the wrong time of the economy, unfortunately. But basically, we've started and we've strived and we're doing okay. But we need support and we need a lot of people to get behind us and about the program.
Well, that's something that we want to help you with, and that's why we wanted to bring you on this show. There's a lot of really cool things that you're doing. We were checking out your website. We got to meet you personally last week, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But
sure.
People that are doing great things in the community are people that we're wanting to showcase so that we can point out, hey, everybody, this is somebody you can get behind because they're actually making a difference in humanitarian life. And Frank, something that I think is really great is that you donate a lot of your time and you have gotten a lot of your musician friends together. And how do you go about approaching somebody and saying, hey, we're looking to teach some people how to play instruments. Will you join in? What kind of response do you get when you ask your fellow musician friends to do these types of things?
Well, basically, when we first got started, we devised a program where it was a pay-to-perform program. So we had people to pay a certain fee. That fee will then help pay for the coaches that will come in. But these are top-line coaches. These are all professional musicians that tour.
Right.
And basically we would say, okay, we would supply all your gear for you. We'll supply the studio. We'll supply the coaches. We'll also provide your finale concert in front of family and friends and for a fee. Now, when we first came out here, obviously the economy was the worst. So we had to think, what else could we do to help people? Then I thought, okay, well, there's not a lot of people helping kids because there's a lot of the music programs in schools have gotten cold, removed from the schools. So I said, well, why don't we start with a program with some kids? And so we did some programs with kids at local high schools here in Long Beach. Then we also had a seniors program, which is part of the Macy's Foundation. They were called Oasis. Now, this is in 2009, where we had around 25 seniors who haven't played an instrument in over 40 years, 40,
wow,
50 years.
So So these are musicians that just hadn't played in a while, is that correct?
These are musicians, they're singers, they're backup singers, and these seniors were phenomenal to work with. They were great because they remember the old school way. And so we had a few of them play an instrument. We had a majority of them sang, and they sang all the standards. So then we had a finale concert where all we did was playing Frank Sinatra. We did Dean Martin to Patsy Cline to a whole range of the old school real type music.
Right, right.
And it was a phenomenal exercise, and it was great for the Oasis Foundation, part of Macy's. And then after doing that, we then got I have a relationship with a marketer for the Long Beach Water Department here in our area. And I was talking to her about our program. She goes, "Why don't we do a program to get kids involved in our high schools?" And I took it a step further. I said, "Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we have the kids? I'll create the kids." Now, a lot of these kids didn't have any musical ability at all. And we coached them for 6 weeks. Now, when I say for 6 weeks, that means we coach them for one day a week for around an hour and a half. And then the next band will be on the Tuesday. The next band will be on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Then we would, I took it the next step further. I said, why don't we have the kids, while they do their set, let's have them create, compose, write, and perform their own water conservation song.
Oh, brilliant.
And it was phenomenal. It went really, really well. And that was, I think it was around 2009 as well. And the kids here enjoyed it. The water department loved it because they had kids trying to say the message of water conservation. And the kids are the ones that probably take water for granted. And after that, they've noticed that the water has, they didn't use a lot of water after that. They try to conserve it. But it was all through music, and it's amazing what music can actually do to an individual, even to help them change their way of thought.
Absolutely. It brings awareness to a situation they had never even considered.
Exactly, exactly. And then after the kids program, I noticed, now I'm not a veteran at all. My father was an Air Force vet. My uncle was an Army veteran. My brother was a Marine. My older brother was in the Coast Guard. I didn't do my service, unfortunately. I was too busy into girls and all the great stuff. And
you were on a different trail.
You're doing it now.
Exactly. So I did my own thing, unfortunately. But then I felt like this is something I wanted to give back because, again, the vets were also neglected and they were not a main focus. So I created a company called Rock for Vets. Rock for Vets is a music education program for veterans. And it teaches veterans how to be part of a band, how to create their self-worth and their self-confidence. And basically that started in 2010, and it's still going today. We practice at the VA hospital in Long Beach, and we have over 45 veterans that are in the program. We have a waiting list of around 120 veterans that want to join, or they come in and go out. And look, we can't help every veteran. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes this program is not for them. But the people that are enjoying the program, they get so much out of it. I've had veterans tell me, again, these vets have never played before again. A lot of them have, and a lot of them have, and we're reigniting that passion. And some of these veterans have said, Frank, I'm now eating again with my wife at home, or we're actually talking, or I'm having sex with my wife again. These are real stories.
Well, it brings back to them. One thing that I love about music is it brings people together, and particularly strangers in this type of a situation.
Exactly.
People that are not used to working together in a casual realm, it brings them together, and it shows them, first of all, A, look what I can do. I have more worth than I gave myself credit for. And B, I can work with these other guys that also have great worth that I've never been able to work with before. And now look at us. We're making this great music. We're doing these really cool things that we never, ever thought we could ever do. So it puts such confidence inside people that it just spreads throughout the rest of their life, and that's what's such a powerful thing about music.
But I want to say also that it's a passion, music, and it, I think it touches so much deeper than just verbally speaking to someone. So it opens up and connects with people on a different level than you can just speaking to them or counseling them, because it opens you up in a sense. If you have a wall up, music almost breaks down any of those barriers. So someone who really doesn't want to discuss certain things or doesn't want to go there, if you will, I think through music you get in there without even realizing it, and the wall's already down. So I think it's excellent what you're doing.
Exactly. But it's not only for, you know, for veterans as well. It's for, we also do other programs for local schools here and there.
And let's talk about the program you're doing that we met you at.
Okay, at the LA County Jail.
Yes.
It was through a sheriff, Justin Cham. Our Rock for Vets were performing in front of a Sears, but it was for a Veterans Day thing or something related to, I can't remember where we were playing, but a sheriff came up and said, you know, Frank, tell me, what is this program all about? We had maybe 25 veterans playing in front of Sears, and he walked by and he said, I don't understand what you're doing. I said, well, these are basically veterans of the VA hospital. We put them in a van together. We coach them. We provide the equipment for them. We give them some self-confidence, and this is the end result. And the end result, we were performing outside. Whilst they were performing, again, he came by again. He came by two or three times. He goes, Frank, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about your program at the VA hospital. I said, no problem. So then we had a conversation, and he invited us to play for the Sheriff's Academy. They had a fun run or a walk, a fundraiser, and so our band played for the Sheriff's Academy.
And was that band made up of the veterans, or is that this is still the veterans band?
No, these were the veterans, the Rock for Vets program.
Okay, right. Okay.
And so basically we performed for the Sheriff's Department for their fun run, and it was a great day. And then Justin and I kept on talking. He goes, Frank, is there I'd like to talk to you maybe about doing a program for us. I'm saying, okay, fine, no problem. So Justin and I, we talk, and I meet with Dr. Weintraub and Justin, and we're downtown in the jail, in one of the offices. And so I sit down, and we're talking about a music program that I'm doing for vets. And suddenly, Dr. Weintraub walks out and comes back, and then there's Sheriff Baca in the room. And Sheriff Baca walks up and goes, Frank, I just want to really thank you for what you're about to do for us. I really want to thank you. I said, sir, I just sat down. I really don't know what I'm doing yet. And
they just talked. They wrote you right in. Yeah.
And then suddenly I said, well, why don't we create a 6-week trial program? So what I'll do is I'll take a group of inmates. I'll do a music education program for the inmates. A second piece of that, I'll do a choir program with the inmates that are not involved with the music program. So basically, we had on a Tuesday, we then took all the equipment to the LA County Jail, you know, from drums to guitars, amps to every little piece you need to create a band. Then we loaded the stuff up. They accepted it. They scrutinized everything. So obviously, it's very tight security, which is fine. And that took a little while to get all the equipment in.
Yes, we've done that. We know the drill.
Exactly. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then we started the program, and I said, okay, on a Tuesday we'll do the band environment. On a Thursday, I want no instruments. I just want voices. I need their raw voices, the raw talent. So suddenly, on the next Tuesday, there was a lockdown of some sort, so we couldn't do the first practice with the band on the Tuesday. So I said, fine. We'll do it. I'll do the choir on the Thursday. So the Thursday's the choir, Tuesday's the band. Then when the choir happened, we had maybe 15 inmates that came in, and No, I've never been on the other side of the jail system. I've never been arrested. I've never been a bad guy. And,
thankfully.
I know. So I know people might have done something wrong, blah, 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 but I have never been in that situation. So I was a little bit eerie of what I was getting involved with. And Dr. Weintraub kept on saying, Frank, you're there for a different reason. You're there to help people, and they'll know that. And so on the first choir program we had, these guys were a little skeptical about what I was doing there as well. Then suddenly I said, okay, I gave them some sheet music and some lyrics. I said, these are some songs you're going to work on. The first song we worked on was Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, which is actually the Rufus Wainwright version. And suddenly the voices just started to come out. I was giving him voice lessons and pitches and ranges, and suddenly it worked. I'm saying, oh, God, wow. So we did that one song, then we tried another tune as well. Tried again with the voices, different ranges. Here's the sheets, and suddenly they're getting this. I'm saying, okay, well, they're learning a little bit quicker than I thought. But they loved it. So, and at this stage, we only have 2 hours with the inmates on the Thursday. And so it was a great rehearsal on the Thursday. Then the band sitting came in on the Tuesday, the next Tuesday following. Again, the same thing. We were a little eerie, skeptical of who these guys were. And then suddenly there were some drummers there. I gave them some lessons on the drums. There were some guitarists there. They needed to refresh their chords and vocalists. And then we worked on a song. I think it was Some Kind of Wonderful we worked on. Boom, they're getting it. They're seeing the passion, and we're seeing the passion of them, and we're seeing their faces are changing now. They're smiling. They're involved. Yes. It's cool.
And they're working together.
Exactly. And it was the same feeling I had when I saw the veterans at the VA hospital when they first got together, when they became harmonious in the choir program, because I started the VA the same way. The VA had a choir for around 6 months, and I introduced the equipment after that. But then to watch these inmates change and feel good about themselves and to say, hey, man, well, I'm parting something different here, then suddenly the barriers just broke, and they were all very cool. They were very accepting, very warm people. Then the band thing came in. Again, it was a great result, and then we finally had, and we did it for 6 weeks, which basically we really had 5 weeks of practicing. Again, only 2 hours a week for each one. And when the band practices, I know I'm probably rambling on as well, so I apologize.
You're fine.
When the band setting happens, we wanted the band to set up the equipment before we get there, because it takes about 40 minutes to take it out, allocate for each item, then they set it up, and then we only really have a good hour and 15 minutes with these people every Tuesday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So in around 5 or 6 or 7 hours of total practicing, and after the trial period, we actually performed for Sheriff Baca, for you guys, for a lot of the other inmates inside the jail, for the captain, for a lot of deputies, and we did it in a hall or a chapel type area. And I was very dubious of how the guys would do in performing in front of people, because I don't think they have really never done that before. So we started with the choir. The choir did 3 songs. And like I said, we had a little rehearsal in the morning. I'm saying, oh, my God, I don't think they're ready. They're not getting the changes or the pitching changes or the level changes. And I said, we just have to do it. We got to bite the bullet and perform.
The show must go on. So, let me tell you, being in the audience, you guys, they nailed it. So any fears that you had were obviously just your own personal fears, because – those guys stepped up, especially, having been there at that performance. You had that one lead singer which was really funny because I guess they went for a guitar solo, and he says, I'm going to start dancing. And he just turned into Michael Jackson, and he was, like, doing splits and these moves, and I'm like, wow, look at this guy. I mean, like, he just woke up. So he was definitely into it.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I thought everyone did great. I thought the band was definitely excited to play together, and the choir definitely, you could feel the harmonies. You know, we were seated in the middle, and it's really interesting because Janie and I kept commenting on the harmonies on the far right side because they were lower harmonies, but they were just so strong. They were just, it sounded great. It sounded great in that room. I thought you did an excellent job, and I thought those guys did great too.
Well, Tony and Teddy, thank you. Because, like I said, in the morning when they were practicing, I said, oh, my God, it's not going to go. And then I'm getting nervous because Sheriff Paca is now walking inside the area, and everyone wants to talk to him. And he sits down in the front row with you guys, and he does some speeches for the inmates and for the deputies, saying how much music is such a great importance for people, or even just playing a part. So with his support there, it was just phenomenal. So we, like I said, as you saw, we did the choir. They really did a wonderful job. And the band then came up and did their three songs. And you're right, we had this one guy come out and start dancing, and he was in the moment. And you know, that moment wasn't planned, but that's what music does.
That's
and
what it brought out of him.
Yeah, that's the spontaneous.
Exactly.
That's the whole fun of being in a band is you get to a certain level where you're on a ride and you're just all experiencing this ride at the same time. And to give people that experience of being in a band and be able to gel, and you're all doing your own individual part, but the sum is bigger than the part. So you're just doing your one part, and yet it's creating this big movement and
big ball of magic.
Yeah. I think it's, you can't explain it unless you've been in it, and I think it's great that you're allowing these guys to be part of it and to feel that.
Well, and I want to say, too, that your experience at the prison is very different from our experience with our band Saint Tone, because you are actually teaching them something, spending one-on-one time. When we go there, we are just entertaining them. We get a ton of reaction from them, but it's completely different because we're getting the visual reaction from the lyric and from the melodies in that. You're getting the reaction from them being actually in it and a part of it. And it's two completely different worlds, even though we're both attacking the same problem from different directions.
Sure.
We're using music as the same thing. Yeah.
I think it's great that, like, you're on the inside and we're on the outside, but we're still reaching them and having them think about, you know, what it is that they're doing and where they are. Our music is more driven toward self-empowerment, self-motivation, and that type of thing. So
we're making them think,
you're showing them they can do. And I think
right.
It's a great combination that the sheriffs are smart enough to infuse prisoners with this type of thing. Because, you know, the bottom line is, Frank, that we don't know what these people did. They might have done just something stupid in one day. You know what I mean? So,
correct.
Yeah, so my thought is that, you know, it's great that the sheriff is forward-thinking enough to realize that not everybody in there has killed somebody. Somebody was just drunk driving stupid, you know, things like that.
Well, of course, but, you know, everyone did something wrong to be
right.
there for a reason. They're there for a reason.
Yeah.
And we cannot, you know, take back what they did, and they can't take back what they did. But, you know, some of these people are getting out, and if we could show them a different way to do something on the outside of these walls,
a new path,
that maybe, right, and maybe show them, hey, pick up a guitar and start performing and instead of doing the opposite thing,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, be part of something kind of cool and be part of a band or be part of or whatever, just go out and start, try to perform somewhere. And it'll change your life. And hopefully if we can change one person, then we've helped.
Absolutely.
You know, thousands.
Absolutely.
And even going back to the VA hospital, I go back to the VA because the Rock for Vets program, I'm really proud of. And I'm proud of every one of the people. Yes, you know, a few people have some issues and we can't help everybody, but to see these people rock and roll and to be a team again and to to really show their passion when they're playing is phenomenal. And I've had, you know, persons saying, Frank, if I didn't have this program, I would have committed suicide as well. So that, it's real stories.
That's powerful.
That's powerful, and I totally get that because you're giving them such an opportunity to emotionally express themselves in a positive way. Like I said, you're taking them to a different level where normally they just can't go there. If there's a wall or whatever, that music is breaking those barriers to allow them to get in touch with some maybe deep emotions that they didn't realize they have, or just deal with certain things that they thought, I just keep burying it. It's like, nope, just get it out. And the music actually helps them release it, I should say.
Exactly. You're 100% correct.
We're going to take a short break. We're going to come right back with the Rock Club and Frank. So right after these messages, we'll be right back.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmation, rap, pop rock song.
Give that SG scenario.
It's motivational musician. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.fainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
And we are back with Frank Michaelham from the Rock Club, also Rock for Vets. And we have had some great discussion about things he's been doing in our communities and the people that he's bringing together and empowering. And it's very exciting to know that there are so many great people doing awesome things out there in this world to try to help our fellow man live happily. So welcome back, Frank. I do want to ask you, where can people look for information about you and learn more about you guys?
Well, basically they can go to our website, which is rockforvets.net, rockforvets.net, or they can send me an email to frank@therockclub.net, or they can always give us a call at 866-597-1116.
And do you guys have a Facebook?
We have a Facebook page as well. And, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not the Facebook savvy person, so we have someone else doing it for us. But we do have a Rock for Vets Facebook page as well.
Great.
And, but they can, anyone, please go to our website again, rockforvets.net, and they can see what we're doing. We also rely heavily on community support, individual donations, and if people want to say, hey, you know, here's $10, here's $5, whatever, they can always do it online at our donate page as well.
Great. Yeah, I was going to ask you, what can people do to get behind you? So financial donation is definitely a plus because that helps you to hire the people you need to hire in order to train all these different people. Can you use
Correct.
Volunteers at all? If there are musicians out there listening, which we do have a lot of musicians that listen to this station.
Of course, if there are people out there that have some abilities to play of some sort that want to donate their time, you know, like we not only do it for vets, we also do it for other underprivileged kids as well. Mm-hmm. If they want to come and donate their time, they're somewhat a professional player where they know how to talk with people. They know
right.
how guitar works and how bass works and or drums. We can always use volunteers to actually help teach other individuals for them to learn. Secondly, if there's people with old instruments inside their garages,
uh-huh.
old guitars, old drums, we could take those. We want that instrument. And if you have something, you know, please send me an email again to frank@therockclub.net and send me an email on the side and we can talk, okay, what do you have? Some instruments are not adequate enough to utilize due to the actual instrument themselves. But if they have a good guitar that is working, we'll take it. If they have some drums that are working, great. We really need a good PA system because we don't have a decent PA when we perform out. So someone has done a PA system that can hold maybe 8 channels, or a 10-channel board or a 12-channel board. That's the stuff we really need. So if you listeners out there, if you have some stuff in your garage that you're not using, donate it to us, and we'll give you a tax deduction for your donation as well.
Excellent, excellent. So you hear him, everybody. Frank needs some help with getting some equipment, and also some cash donations are definitely always useful in situations like this. So if you can absolutely get behind this guy and help him to propel the Rock Club and the Rock for Vets, we would definitely appreciate that. Tony, you want to talk about a little story here?
Well, actually, I want to talk about September 28th in Single Hill. You're doing a show. That's this coming Saturday. Tell us a little
bit
about it, and that's from 3 to 5. And I want to also just comment that if you are doing the show this coming Saturday, if anybody does have an instrument that is listening and wants to bring it, is that a good place that they could bring their instrument or a photograph of an instrument where they can meet you?
I didn't even think of that, Ty. Of course, yes. If they have some instruments, they can bring it on the day, and we can accept it on that day as well. So obviously, fantastic. Also, there, if people want to donate on that day as well, but we have some people that'll obviously accept it. But basically, this is a concert that we're doing just in the park. It's in honor of our veterans, in honor of the veterans that live here in Signal Hill and around the Long Beach area. And we performed in June of this year at the Scottish Rite Theater. And inside the Scottish Rite Theater, we were wearing our Rock for Vets shirts. And we go downstairs, and it was a nice audience, probably 500 or 600 people, which is nice that they came to see us perform. But there was a gentleman by the name of Richard Lutner. Richard was an Iwo Jima veteran. Yeah. Now, he was there when the flag was raised upon the hill in Iwo Jima.
Wow.
And I was talking to him. I had the opportunity to speak with him, and I said, "Sir," because we actually wear that logo on our shirts because it's an empowering type of logo.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I said to Mr. Lubner, I said, "Sir, are we in any way at all discrediting what you've done by wearing this badge on our shirts?" And he goes, "Frank, I would tell you, if you were doing something wrong, I would ask you to remove it. What you're doing is you're keeping the spirit alive for us, that we know what we did, but people are not, they don't remember what we did."
Right.
And so basically he gave us the blessing, which is phenomenal.
That's huge.
And he was,
what a compliment.
He was a machine gunner. Oh, I know, it was a great compliment. I couldn't ask for anything better. And so basically we're creating a concert on the 28th of September here in Signal Hill. It's all actually called Signal Hill Park, which is on Cherry Avenue and Hill Street. It's free parking. It's a free concert, and it's from 3 to 5 p.m. We have the Long Beach Community Band, which they've been a band since 1947. It's a big piece band. There's a 60-piece orchestra, and so they're going to be performing the first act. Then we have the Rock for Vets are going to be coming in afterwards, but it's people that have come out to support it, like, you know, McDonald's on Willow and Cherry Street. They're providing food for all of our veterans that are performing, which is fantastic.
Very nice.
People, very cool. Signal Hill Petroleum, to Roscoe's, Red Eye Media. So these people have gotten behind us and said, "Frank, we want to help. What can we do?" So basically we're doing a concert to honor any veterans that live around the Signal Hill, Long Beach area to say thank you. We also will have one of the National Deputy Directors for the Military Order of the Purple Heart will be there as well. And we'll have some military vehicles there. So it should be just a really nice, really great day. So if you can come out 3 to 5 on the 28th of September, hopefully we'll see you there.
Yeah, well, we'll be there. Janie and I have already put it in our book that we are going to be there to definitely support your cause. And I'm actually going to put my feelers out to see if there's anyone out there that I personally know that has any instruments that are sitting around. And I'm assuming you can use like a guitar case, either a hard shell or a soft shell, or just different things that have to do with instruments. If there's something out there that you can bring to the show.
Picks and strings. And
yeah,
you can go on for miles with that one.
I was going to say, I have an endorsement through Taylor Guitar, so I'll reach out to them to see if there's anything that they can possibly do to help out your organization.
Fantastic.
They've been able to help kids in the past. So.
It's that type of support that we need. So it's people like you guys are doing something well for humanitarian needs, and it's people in the community that want to come out and support. It's all about community, and you know, a lot of people turn their head on community awareness and different type of programs or projects, but you know, get behind something. If anyone is not doing with the community, just reach out, say, what can I do for my area? And have them volunteer. It doesn't have to be with us. It could be with someone else. But get out and do something for your area that you actually live in.
I'm really happy to hear you say that, because I end my show every single week saying exactly that. Find something to be part of. Find something to contribute. Find some way, somehow, if it's a bake sale at your church and you donate the money to something good, whatever it is, find a way to do your share, to contribute your talents to our fellow man, because, you know, God knows we all could support people around us who are less fortunate than we are.
I think it's interesting, too, that a lot of people actually find themselves going, wow, I wish I could do something like that, or wow, I wish I could get involved. And I'm like, well, why don't you?
Because they don't know what to do.
Yeah, they don't know what to do or where to go. And I think what we try to do on this show is
give them options.
Give them options to say, hey, here are different people out there that are doing things. Maybe you're not a musician, but maybe you're involved in helping animal rights, or maybe you want to go to a shelter at an animal shelter and just take the dogs for a walk.
Or maybe you're a social media guy and you want to help with your fan page, or, you know, there's so many different avenues that people can contribute to support groups like you guys.
And it's even just picking up trash as well. I mean, it's the smallest thing to big stuff. And a lot of people have, you know, are more fortunate than others and have some disposable income. Those guys can come out and support. The people that don't have that disposable income that want to come and help, again, there's so many things you can do to help beautify your area.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, Frank, how often do you do these types of concerts? Is it a
month-to-month
thing, or?
It's probably, depending on our schedule, probably once or twice a month, and we try to we support a lot of people that support us, like we're doing something for the American Legion, the American Legion Auxiliary in October. We're doing this show for our veterans on the 28th. We just finished playing at the Long Beach Yacht Club last Saturday, and that was phenomenal. It was for a Patriot Regatta, a lot of boats in the water representing different branches of service. And we just have a lot of little things happening, and we're really fortunate that, again, we don't charge when we go out and perform. So that's why we rely on donations, people buying shirts, that type of stuff.
Right. And I think it's excellent that you're doing this. Tell me a little bit now. I was just on your website, and you guys are finalists for the 100 Cars for Good, and I believe that it's sponsored by Toyota. Just give us a little bit about that. How did you become a finalist, and what's it all about?
Well, it was fantastic. Someone sent me the link for the 100 Cars for Good, and I'm saying, okay, maybe we won't apply. We won't be selected for it. So I filled out a online application for it. I didn't hear anything back for a few days, and suddenly they got an email back from Toyota saying, you've been selected as a finalist. Like, I'm like, oh, we said, oh, Jesus, this is fantastic. Yeah. And Toyota's, I'm sorry, sir.
No, I just said, that's awesome. Go ahead, sorry.
It's trust me, Tom, it's a phenomenal opportunity. And Toyota does a lot of great stuff in the community, and they've been doing this for quite a few years. Basically, what they're doing is there's 250 finalists that they have chosen. Out of those 250 finalists, one out of every five two out of every five finalists will actually receive a new vehicle.
Wow.
And that is chosen by voting. Our voting day, please remember, all you have to do is go to 100carsforgood.com, 100carsforgood.com, which is 100 as the 100carsforgood.com. Go to our Rock for Vets page, our date is October 21st. That's the only day you can actually vote for us to receive, hopefully receive a car. If we don't get a car, I think there's a small donation that Toyota will give. But we could utilize a vehicle to do more programs at different schools, different areas. We can move the equipment a little bit easier than getting volunteer drivers and such. But we, again, please, listeners, go to the website 100carsforgood.com. On the 21st, please vote for Rock for Vets. Please vote for Rock for Vets. And tell your friends and their friends and their friends.
So it's only on that one date that you can write, that you can vote? Or is it on October 21st? Or is it anyone can vote prior to that?
The 21st is our selected day. Every other charity has different dates that you can vote for, but our selected date is the 21st. So, and they did that for a reason. I guess to help saturate the market with different charities that are out there. But our date has been selected as the October 21st date.
So
all day.
What we're going to do, Frank, is we're going to announce it every week up until then to get everybody to get on there. And also, people listening, if you will post this on your Facebooks for us, have everybody go on that day and keep reminding everybody, because this goes out across the country and around the world. Everybody can vote on October 21st and help these guys get this car, this vehicle. Definitely would be doing a small part on your end by making a 5-minute vote here.
You could say, I helped them win a car.
And totally change the future for these guys and the amount of things that they're able to do for our vets and for our people.
And Frank told me earlier that he will give you one ride for every vote.
That's right.
You'll pick a person up, give them a ride in it.
Does that mean they're going to be loading in and loading out?
Well, the ride could be getting in the car and could be just driving around the parking lot.
A roadie in the making, sounds like to me.
I think once you win the car, we'll have an event, a concert, where everyone gets to drive in the car once you win it. I think something like that would be fun. They could just drive around the parking lot.
That'll be a deal.
Yeah. Be awesome.
Let's get them to win the car first.
If they want to drive the car to Vegas, I don't care where they drive it to. Just return it. Please vote on that day. Please, guys. Everybody, tell your friends.
Thank you
so much, Jeannie.
Absolutely. And the next thing that we're going to ask for after you win the car is somebody to donate a full car wrap for you so that we can advertise what's going on while you're driving this car around town.
That would be excellent. That would be very, very cool.
That's Jane. She's the marketing guru here, by the way. So that's why she comes up with these ideas.
I'm working at every angle.
She's a good thinker.
Yeah. It's 25 years of that promotional marketing behind her that she likes to do that. We're going to be right back with Frank, but when we come back, we're going to talk about Gene Simmons and Rock for Vets. How did Gene Simmons get involved with Rock for Vets? Stay tuned, and you'll find out how. I'll be right back. You're listening to Humanitarian Radio.
This segment of the show, sponsored by Artistic Journey, where we help groups and organizations reach their fundraising goals by providing unique marketing products to showcase their events. Be sure to visit ArtisticJourney.com, where you can shop for over 750,000 items to put your logo on, all at wholesale pricing. Whether you're looking for some fresh ideas or just need a better price on the goods you currently purchase, let Artistic Journey's years of experience bring your events to a whole new level. Visit ArtisticJourney.com today. And we are back with the Rock Club and Rock for Vets founder, Mr. Frank Michael Ham. We've been having a great conversation about all the cool things he's doing in the community with and for our local people. And we definitely would like you to keep track of him. Go on their website. He'll announce it for us again in another couple of minutes here. And vote for them on October 21st to try to win this free car so that they can haul their equipment around and all that fun stuff. So, Frank, welcome back. We gave a little teaser before our break talking about Gene Simmons. I am extremely curious to find out, how did you get involved with the Gene Simmons show?
Well, it was basically a very weird opportunity. Basically what happened, there's a girl named Gina Lease. Gina Lease has a company called Pinups for Vets. Gina is a great girl. She always comes out and does our emceeing at a few different shows for us. And it was last year where we did a show again at the Scottish Rite Theater, and Gina was there, and she helped with the emceeing of the day. And she has a calendar, which is, she takes this calendar through all the different hospitals, the VA hospitals, and she gives them out to patients. And it's a great, it's an old school, like in the 30s, 40s, with the pinup girls, and
you
know, the men love it.
Oh, I'm sure. They're all over that. That's right up their alley. It brings back memories.
Of course, and it's phenomenal. It's great. And then, so Gina has the calendar. And so Gina says, Frank, would you mind putting a little add-in for me or one of your Rock for Vets logos? I said, no. You help me, I'll support you.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Gene Simmons got a hold of that calendar. And Gene Simmons was looking through the calendar, because Gene is a very pro-veteran supporter,
okay,
of current and active to past. And he's actually a very wonderful man regarding supporting our military, men and women. So basically, he was going through the calendar, and he picked something that he wanted to help. But he flipped toward the back, and we had this very small ad, this very small picture. And Gene says, no, I want to find out more about this Rock for Vets program. So I get a call from the producer of the TV show. And the producer said, you know, Frank, Gene saw this ad in the calendar. We'd like to find out more about it. And I'm saying, okay, well, because I had no idea. When you're getting a call from a producer for Family Jewels, it doesn't happen every day.
Right.
You're not sure. You're like, is this like one of those like prank shows? Like, I'm
just
show
my
up.
Friend Bill.
Adam Kushner's
exactly.
Gonna jump out.
So then I said, yeah, fine. And then I said, well, my wife and I were going to London to go with her family because there was something a family do in the UK. And I said, well, the dates that were available is Monday and Friday. She goes, and this was like on a Tuesday. She goes, I'll be there on the Friday. I want to come and check out what you're doing. I said, no problem. So suddenly the producer comes to the VA. She just comes and checks it out. She goes, this is right down Gene's alley. He would love this. I think it would make a great story. Gene will be supportive. And then suddenly the ball is rolling. So now Gene wants to set a date. The date is this date, and we're and this is when Gene is actually coming to the VA hospital to introduce himself to our vets from Rock for Vets and to actually play with the guys. And,
wow!
And then suddenly he says, "I want the band to play a song, and I'll teach them how to play the song on the bass or the guitar." And then suddenly we're playing "I Love It Loud," and they're. Gene comes in, all the camera crew is there, and then Gene's actually coaching our guys playing Love It Loud. He talks with a few veterans. Then there's a concert that he says, okay, we're going to do a concert now. So all the stuff is happening so quickly and not taking a lot of time to digest. Then we had a finale concert at the Roxy Theater. We had some great people, some support that came out. Bobby Kimmel from Toto. We had Danny Serafin from Chicago, Jerry Salas, our head coach at the VA Long Beach. And then Gene came with two other members of KISS. So we had all the members of KISS except for Paul Stanley.
Wow.
So we had Tommy Thayer, Eric Singer, the drummer. We had his whole family was there. Our vets actually played a song with Sophie. We actually played it last for Sophie. Nick, the son, came up. He jammed with our guys as well. A lot of great people in the audience. It was a great day. We raised a little bit of funding on that day, but it was an opportunity that would never happen in my lifetime if I asked Gene to do this.
Right,
and,
right. But it's, you know, it's that you're paying it forward, and it came back around. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And Mr. Simmons and the whole family, all the producers, all the camera people, they were all fantastic to work with. And
think about how cool this is. We're musicians, you and Tony and I would be thrilled to have Gene Simmons show me a little something on the guitar. personally. And you have these vets who you're reaching out to who are expecting to, you know, just learn from some strangers. And here comes Gene Simmons going, hey, guys, I'm going to teach you a little something. What a thrill that must have been for those guys to just even be around him, let alone get some private lessons from him.
This is how you breathe fire, and this is how you get the blood to spurt, and this is how you walk in high heels, and this is how you play bass in high heels, you know. But he's definitely the show's man, but to have him show up at a veteran's
hospital
must have been amazing for not just you, but for the veterans who have gotten involved, going like, wow, I signed up for this program. Next thing you know, it, Gene Simmons is showing up. So they're probably like, how did this happen?
It was very cool. And, you know, I seen Kiss when I was a kid, and I would never think that, hey, this, you know, Mr. Simmons is here, and he wants to come and rock out. And
it was a great
opportunity, and I don't know if it'll ever happen again, but it happened once, and we're very thrilled, and it was a great experience.
We have a segment on our show called Humanitarian Hollywood, where we feature people that are using their name or their face for good humanitarian causes, and I think Gene's going to be a qualifying guy to get on our show to talk about exactly this. I think it's another way to bring light to what you guys are doing, but also expose that he's a different guy than everybody thinks he is. You know, he's got a lot of humanitarian love inside of him, and it's great that he's sharing that through programs like yours.
And like I said, we loved it. It happened. I don't know if it'll ever happen again, but it was a great opportunity, and he was a very warm individual, and his whole family were fantastic as well.
Excellent.
Excellent. So let me ask you this real quick. What are your plans for the future as Rock for Vets and the Rock Club move forward? You've been around for a number of years. What is your ultimate goal? Like, where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself expanding as an organization? Do you see yourself getting different pockets across the country? Putting on larger shows? What would be your fantasy, your rock fantasy, if you will?
The fantasy that I have would be I really like helping the veterans, the veteran population. That's where I really feel strong. My ideal goal is to have a investor or someone say, Frank, I want you to open up Rock for Vets in all the VA hospitals across the U.S., if that can happen, that's my ultimate goal, to have Rock for Vets teaching veterans at different hospitals that have no musical ability or have some, to get them energetic and renewed and show their self-worth again. That's what I want. Again, I'm being selfish. It could be me. It could be someone else. But at least we're trying to do something with our men and women that have fought for this country. And if we could do it, that's my main goal, is to have other Rock for Vets programs at different VA locations.
So then the musicians that are out there that are across the country, if they're interested in starting a program underneath you at a location in their hometown, they can get in touch with you where?
By all means, they can send me an email to frank@therockclub.net, frank@therockclub.net.
Now, you're involved in the VA Hospital of Long Beach, so if there's – I'm not sure how VA hospitals work. If there's another one in Los Angeles or San Francisco or wherever, just in the state of California, can they do, as you said, as Janie said, start a group underneath you? Have you
franchise
that out yet, in a sense, or is that something that is still being explored?
We're still exploring it. Basically, it's not a lot of cost at all per year. It's like $20,000, $30,000 a year or something to have a program at a different location. And that includes buying the gear, that the gear is there. It's not rented equipment. It's new equipment that the vets will learn on, they'll train on, that'll provide the coaching staff, the time, performances, their T-shirts, that'll include everything.
Which is really nothing. The cost factor of $30,000 is nothing for all of that, because instruments alone will take a nice chunk of that.
Exactly. And so if people want to get behind this, by all means, please call me at 866-597-1116 or send an email again to frank@therockclub.net. But it's really, if anyone wants to help and support, or even say, you know, I'm a musician, I'd like to do this in my area, give me a call, and we'll talk. We'll make it work somehow.
Absolutely. Frank, we really appreciate you coming and telling everybody about what you're doing and sharing the love with our veterans. We very much appreciate the talent that you have that and the knowledge that you have and the foresight to see that you can really help people around us that, you know, sometimes feel forgotten and just by sharing your talent.
Thank you.
So we want to thank Frank Michael Hamm from the Rock Club and Rock for Vets for joining us today. And we are going to continue to keep our eye on him and let you guys know exactly what he's up to and where you can see him. And we're going to encourage you to vote on October 21st, as well as going to see him if you're in the California area on September 28th at their Signal Hill event.
From 3 to 5 Signal Hill, Janie and I will be there. The address, we'll put that on our humanitarianradio.com and our Humanitarian Radio Facebook. We'll put the event on both of those. But if you can keep it in mind, rockforvets.net, all the information is right there. It is a free concert. Come out and support. Come out and see the band. Maybe Gene Simmons will pull up. Who knows?
Oh, imagine.
Right? You never know. Obviously, he showed up already once.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah. All right, Frank, thank you again for your time. Is there any last words that you'd like to say?
Last words, it's people like you guys, Janie Tone. I would like to thank you for allowing me to be a part of your show and your support with humanitarian people. I mean, humanitarian, the concept, because people need to get behind something and to have you guys be a spokesman for trying to do something good in the community is phenomenal. So that has to go down to you guys, because your guys are actually doing something for the community, and I want to thank you both for allowing us to be part of this program with you guys today, and to all your listeners that, you know, you guys are doing it right, and I want to really thank you guys for what you're doing.
That's awesome, Frank. Thanks so much. We appreciate that very, very much.
Yeah, we're just trying to spread the love that you already have out there, so that's why we're just trying to let people know about it. So we're going to end today's show with an original song by Saint Tone. This is I Ain't Giving Up.
I ain't giving up on living. I ain't giving up on living. I ain't giving up on.
song and the lyrics to it on saintstone.com. You've been listening to Humanitarian Radio. Go out and make it a great day.